Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. This is an incredible story, and I love stories like this, things that happened in history that you had no idea about. And that is one of these. As a matter of fact, as most of you know, we're based here in Kansas City, Missouri, and this happened in Missouri. We've talked about the Buffalo Soldiers before, and this incredible story about the Buffalo Soldiers, just something that I'd never heard of. And joining us to talk about that is Kevin Smith of Missouri State Parks. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, sir, and thank you so much for inviting me to be on today.
Hey, so you're a veteran. You were with the Air Force, right?
Yes, sir. I was in the Air Force. I was in the Dental Corps for a short amount of time. I did not serve as a lifer as many of the other people that are out there.
Hey, you're doing the good work of Missouri, though. You're right here in Missouri at Missouri State Parks. And I read this story that you have been spreading, which is incredible. I think we all know about the Buffalo Soldiers. In case people don't know, tell us a little bit about their background.
Okay, the Buffalo Soldiers is a term that was used for anyone of African-American heritage that served in the Western frontier after the Civil War ended in 1865. There were six regiments, three infantry regiments and three cavalry regiments, which were later combined into two of each. So there was the 24th and 25th Infantry, and then there was the 9th and 10th Cavalry. These soldiers were primarily stationed in the Western frontier area, where their contact with settlers was somewhat limited. They pretty much were the police force of the Western frontier because it was pretty much a lawless area. They broke up mining disputes. They protected wagons, trains, and settlers moving west in the westward expansion. Again, they were stationed in remote areas to where their contact would be somewhat limited with settlers. They fought off Indians, and they faced extreme racism, not only from the townspeople that they protected, but also from their superiors. And so they were some really, really interesting guys back in the days.
Well, and not only that, but they were superior fighters, right? I mean, they were like the best of the best.
Yes, sir. From all accounts, they were viewed as the best of the best. The Native Americans had a lot of respect for these gentlemen, the Buffalo Soldiers, because they could see and tell what they were faced. Not only were they just fresh out of slavery with the end of the Civil War, but they also were fighting for a country that, you know, in so many ways had mistreated them, yet they really didn't have anything to go back to. So they, made the best of what they had. They joined the military. Well, some of them joined the military, and it gave them the ability to earn a living as well as see the United States as, somewhat of a free person. And, they took pride in wearing the uniform, and they also were able to gain a basic education.
Incredible. We're talking to Kevin Smith of Missouri State Parks here in the National Defense. And Missouri's just celebrated its 125th anniversary of the 25th Infantry Bicycle Corps, incredible journey from Fort Missoula, Montana to St. Louis. And this is the part that just fascinates me, because the Bicycle Corps was an Army experiment that tested whether bicycles could replace horse-mounted soldiers in the 1890s. And after some short test runs to see the viability, 20 Buffalo Soldiers, and there's a great picture that I'm looking at here, departed Fort Missoula to embarked on the 1,900-mile journey on bicycles through the Rocky Mountains and across the Great Plains on June 14th, 1897. Kevin, where has this story been? I've never heard about this.
I agree with you, sir. I had never heard of it myself. Missouri State Parks recently became aware of this about 3 years ago, and it was by a blog from a retired history teacher named Mr. Mike Higgins from Wyoming. He wrote an online blog, and one of our staff members had seen it and, just casually mentioned to management, it's like, hey, maybe we need to look into this. This is a story that involves Missouri. So we had a few staff look into it and presented it to our executive staff at Missouri State Parks. And they looked at the project and were like, fly the guy down here. We need to talk to him and, see if this is something that we need to look into. So we had Mike Higgins fly down. He presented the information to our executive staff, and our parks director at the time, Director Mike Sutherland, just made the decision right there on the spot. He's like, hey, go with this. And so Missouri State Parks started the process of figuring out how we were going to do this. Our initial plan was try to recreate the entire 1,900-mile ride. But logistically, that was quite a bit large.
What's plan B?
Yeah, the plan B ultimately turned into, logistically, we can't coordinate with five different states because, you know, you can get everybody together, but not everybody wants to play well together. Right. So we decided that we were only going to deal with the Missouri portion of it. And with the Missouri portion, I was tasked with contacting the local Buffalo Soldiers group in Kansas City to try to find out about the Buffalo Soldiers patch that they wore on their uniforms and if it was something that the soldiers themselves adopted or if it was a military-issued patch. Throughout a bunch of correspondence, I got in touch with the National Museum in Houston, Texas, and told them who I was and what we were working on from Missouri State Parks, who put me in touch with Trooper Bobby McDonald from the Greater Los Angeles Area Chapter in L.A., who was putting together all of the events that happened in Missoula, Montana. So once he and I partnered together and we compared notes, it was like, okay, he's got the alpha, we've got the omega, meaning the beginning and the end.
And then we had
Eric Cedinho, the bicycle nomad, who took on the task of riding the 1,900 miles.
I want to talk about that as well. Man, this is just so fascinating. Buffalo Soldier. I mean,
yes, sir. Bob Marley.
Absolutely. I mean, Buffalo Soldiers, just fascinating by themselves. But these 20 men who rode this 1,900-mile journey on these bicycles, and I'm looking at a photo of these bicycles, and they're pretty cool bikes. I mean, I wouldn't think, you know, we're talking about the 1890s here, but these are very, very specialized bicycles, huh?
Yes, sir, they are. Lieutenant James Moss, who was the commanding officer of the 25th Infantry, contacted the Spalding Bicycle Company, who he said, hey, I need a bicycle that's going to be rugged and can withstand all of, you know, the elements. And we're looking to do a 1,900-mile ride. Spalding decided, hey, we'll provide 20, 25 bicycles for you to try out and, you know, let us know what you think. But we need the bicycles back. And in exchange, they use the military's likeness in some of their advertisements because the Army provided, they okayed Lieutenant Moss to be able to go on this 1,900-mile experiment, but they provided no funding to make it happen. So Moss took it upon himself to contact the Spalding Company, who coincidentally makes basketballs now and not bicycles.
Right.
And they went about doing the ride. Missouri State Parks contacted a gentleman named James Allen with the Peddlers Bicycle Museum down in Springfield, Missouri, who recreated two bicycles from the period. And we have those that travel around. One is on permanent display at the Pershing Boyhood Home for his connection with the Iron Riders or Buffalo Soldiers. And then the other one travels around with me whenever I'm out doing interpretive displays for the community.
Yeah. And let's talk about this ride just a little bit. I mean, in the 18, you know, it's one thing to think of a 1,900-mile journey through the Rocky Mountains now, but in the 1890s, how rugged must that have been?
Oh, sir, it was unbelievable. This predated roads. This was the first time a lot of African Americans, these soldiers, had been on bicycles. There was one.
Oh, yeah, there's that. There's that.
Yes, sir. There's that part. There was one rider named John Finley, who was the only Missouri-born rider who was part of this group, and he was from St. Joseph, Missouri. And he's probably the reason why this bicycle experiment was a success. He was the mechanic. He worked for the Imperial Bicycle Works Company in Chicago, Illinois. So he not only knew how to repair a bicycle, but also knew how to ride one. So he was teaching other riders how to ride with their bicycles, ride with no hands, ride while shooting. They were able to scale fences, nine-foot high fences with their bicycles, not by jumping them, but by holding them.
Right. The fence. Yeah, because the bikes look pretty lightweight.
So they weighed roughly about 30 pounds. And then with all the provisions, meaning the center part that had all their personal care items that was in the center part of the frame, and then all of the supplies, the bedroll, the tent, the rifle, everything, the bicycle weighed right at about 60, 65 pounds.
Oh, wow. And you're scaling a 9-foot fence with that.
Yes, sir. They had to cross streams. They had to ride on railroad ties because remember, this ride was done in 1897 and it predated roads. All that there were horse trails and game trails pretty much for the 1900 mile ride that they traversed.
Yeah, and I would imagine a few animals along the way.
Yes, sir. They did encounter quite a few animals, although Lieutenant James Moss gave him strict orders not to do anything. But there was one time in particular that they had run out of food, run out of water, that he gave the soldiers the command or the suggestion, said, hey, there's a lot of chickens out here. No one will be punished or find any trouble if there's one that ends up being cooked.
Hey, you got to eat.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, man, this is just incredible. And I mean, I would imagine, you know, these men, the Buffalo Soldiers that undertook this, I mean, obviously it's a great adventure, but they made it. I mean, you know, the setbacks like weather conditions and equipment failure, but they were greeted with a hero's welcome when they finally reached St. Louis on July 24th. And I'm so glad to read that because, you know, it could have just been a thing where nobody even acknowledged that. Are there, Kevin, do you know, are there any kind of diaries that exist about this journey?
Yes, James Moss wrote, well, first off, the bicycle trip itself was extensively written about. There was a 19-year-old journalist named Edward Bowes who traveled with the group who had connections to the Daily Missoulian newspaper in Missoula, Montana. His father suggested that he ride with the group, so every town and every stop, he was sending daily reports back as far as what the riders had encountered,
how far
they went. And that's how the story was not lost to history, as well as Lieutenant James Moss having the idea to take the camera and take a bunch of historical photos that still exist to this day. And so that's how the story was so well preserved. As you can imagine, in 1897, the ride started out well, but the riders didn't start to experience any sort of discrimination or racism when they started getting closer to civilization. Mm. And during that time, the state of Missouri was the edge of civilization, or better known as St. Louis, the gateway city, or the gateway arch, the gateway to the West. So the closer that they got to St. Louis, the worse things got. I mean, there was an incident or a couple of reports where they were told to, hey, you can't camp in the barn, for example, you have to camp down by the pigsty. Or they were forced to purchase water for cooking and drinking versus just being given water by local wheelmen. And they were also given misdirection when they tried to make the turn from Louisiana, Missouri. Yes, sir. From the Louisiana, Missouri area down towards St. Charles before they made their way into St. Louis. All of those instances happened right around the Louisiana, Hannibal area in Missouri.
I mean, these heroes who are risking their lives, I mean, literally risking their lives for this army experiment and being treated like that. That's horrible. That's horrible.
Yes, sir, it is. But, you know, again, it's just the sign of the times. That's just what it was. I mean, even now, if you saw a group of 23 to 25 African-Americans or, you know, the soldiers riding bicycles outfitted with camping gear and carrying rifles, you know, it would draw some attention. And that's even today.
Yeah, good point. That's a good point.
You know, it would draw some attention today. So back in 1897, when this was a completely uncommon sight, you can imagine that, you know, people were pretty concerned about what was going on. Yeah.
We're talking to Kevin Smith of the Missouri State Parks here in the National Defense, the 125th anniversary of the 25th Infantry Bicycle Corps. Incredible journey from Fort Missoula, Montana to St. Louis, 1,900 miles. And you talked about this guy that helped you guys on the route, Eric Cedeno. And
yes,
he's also known as the Bicycle Nomad. So he recreated this ride.
Yes, sir. Eric Cedeno, he had the opportunity to get involved with this project. He has ridden the Underground Railroad from like Louisiana up to Niagara Falls at least twice that I know
of. Wow.
And ridden the whole distance of the Pacific Coast Highway and done some other extensive long distance rides. So when this opportunity came up here, Eric's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So when I presented the information to Parks Management, they said, hey, we need to send you up there. So I went to Missoula, Montana, and met with Eric and met with the guys from Los Angeles and other reenactors. And yeah, we all met together at the Fort, Fort Missoula at 5:40 in the morning, the exact time, 125 years after the riders had initially taken off.
Wow.
We went through the same type of ceremony, and I actually rode the first 5 miles with Eric Cedeno.
Oh, did you really? And now, yes, obviously it's a different route now because there are roads. Did Eric try to stay pretty close to their original route?
Yes, sir. He did. He did try to stay close to their route. So a lot of times he was riding through back roads and gravel roads and, you know, things of that nature, which is a bit safer than riding on the,
yeah,
the median of the highway or the edge of the highway there. But yes, for the most part, Eric rode about 90% of the actual route that the riders rode.
Yes. That's so cool. And Kevin, I know you're a reenactor, but you yourself are also a Buffalo Soldier. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, sir. I am a Buffalo Soldier with the Greater Los Angeles Area Chapter, the 9th and 10th Horse Cavalry Association. I'm a member of that chapter, as well as Bobby McDonald, who we met in Missoula, Montana, and Eric Cedeno, who is also a member of that.
Ah! Oh, yes, wow. Sir. That is so cool. That is great.
Yes, sir.
What's the best place for people to, I mean, you know, a lot of people just like me are hearing about this story for the very first time. Where is the best place to go for more information on this?
You can go to ironriders2022.org. You can go to Missouri State Parks /ironriders2022. No, it's Iron Riders for Missouri State Parks. And then you can look up Blogspot and under Mike Higgins. And he's got a very, very extensive blog, which has day-to-day chronicles of what the riders faced and, you know, the attitude of the riders, several photos and lots of newspaper clippings. That was probably the best source of information as far as the basis that we used to recreate this project, sir.
Now, Eric didn't take an e-bike, did he?
No, sir. Eric did not take an e-bike. No, sir. He did it with a more modern bicycle, but still, it you know, was a long, arduous journey for him.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine. 1,900 miles. Wow. Kevin, thank
you. He did the bulk of it by himself, sir, so that was even the harder part.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, thank you so much for sharing this story with us. What an incredible story this is, and I hope people want to dig in and find out more about these heroes, the Buffalo Soldiers. They're just incredible people and just incredible what they did for our country and our nation, right?
Thank you so much, sir. Yes, it was an incredible thing, and this story definitely needs to be told, and that's the direction that Missouri State Parks is heading as far as telling underserved populations or disenfranchised community stories to get the word out about their history, because it is American history. Yep. As well as
absolutely history. How inspiring. Thank you, Kevin. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.